When you become a monthly donor to WBEZ, you're doing more than just giving. You're joining a community of people who have skin in the game and are working to ensure everyone has access to trusted news. That's why we're proud to be 100% community funded. As June 30th approaches, WBEZ is preparing for another year without federal funding. A monthly gift ensures strong, independent journalism isn't weakened by political attacks. So join the community of supporters today at wbez.org/donate.
Good afternoon, I'm Lisa Labas, and this is The Rundown. Prediction market platform Kalshi is suing the state of Illinois to block a new state tax on sports wagering. The app offers trades on everything from political event outcomes to pop culture trends. Illinois classifies Kalshi as an unlicensed sports wagering operator. The state in April issued cease and desist letters to the platform. The Sun-Times reports the company maintains events contracts traded on its markets do not constitute gambling and can be regulated only by the federal government. The Chicago White Sox continue to be baseball's feel-good story, and as the calendar approaches July, with the team still atop the AL Central, more fans are thinking the Sox may be the real deal. Their success continued over the weekend, winning their series against the Kansas City Royals. It was the White Sox's 10th straight home series win, a franchise record. Outsiders may be surprised by the Sox's success, but pitcher Davis Martin sees it as a long time coming.
I think we are probably the least surprised about this. I mean, I think everybody else could be surprised. I mean, we've had the talent. We have the people in the locker room, and I think we have the people in the coaching staff and the sports staff. Like, we had everything we needed inside the building, and now I think we're just putting it all together. We're playing good baseball, and we're only halfway. Still a lot of baseball to go, so continue to do what we need to do.
The Sox open a three-game series tonight in Baltimore. It's civic season at the Chicago History Museum. This marks the time period between Juneteenth and the 4th of July. The Community Leadership Fellows, Capstone Click, is a group that is working with the museum to archive West Side history. It's creating a large-scale map art installation. Capstone Click member Carrie Dooley Johnson says Westsiders are not typically represented at institutions like the Chicago History Museum.
So I think it's powerful. To tell their stories and to share their stories on a larger platform outside of the neighborhood and invite other people in to see the beauty of what we have.
Maps will be added to the community wall of the Chicago Crossroads of America exhibition. And the four Montrose Beach piping plover chicks have new names, introducing Buddy, Frankie, Mavis, and Tweety. The chicks were named after celebrated Chicago musicians Buddy Guy, Frankie Knuckles, Mavis Staples, and Jeff Tweety. The artists all span generations of fans through multiple genres. The Chicago Piping Plovers group says the names are fitting, as plovers are known for their melodious singing. The chicks also now have leg bands, so they're identifiable in the future. You're listening to The Rundown. Literature provides a space for authors and readers alike to explore different worlds and perspectives. Now, for queer people, this space can be an important window into identity and community. Violet Miller is a reporter with the Sun-Times, and for Pride Month, she sat down with queer authors to talk about their work. She talked with our anchor Claire Lane about it.
So tell me a bit about the authors that you spoke with.
Yeah, so I spoke with a few local authors. The first was Tamara Jury, author of The Flowers I Deserve, which came out late last year. That's more of a fantasy romance novel. There's, you know, demon kings and queens, lots of fun creatures. Then there's Faye Ikeshumari, author of Chibochi Girl, kind of an auto fiction, these kind of slice of life stories, everything from, the bars to the federal immigration blitz that hit the city last year. And then similarly with Sloane Murphy's Shut Up, I Love You, I'll Call You Tomorrow, just all of these stories of trans women across the city of Chicago in bars, having fun, preserving that history for the future.
So why did they say for them it's important for people to see their own stories reflected in what you're doing in the media?
Yeah, I mean, Tamara mentioned to me that, like, they would not have discovered their own non-binary identity had they not been writing these books. They actually, kind of finally felt comfortable with that label while writing this most recent book. This has always been an escape for them. You know, as somebody who grew up in the South, you know, this was a place for them to be where there was no judgment. There was no, you know, almost automatic acceptance because, you know, you're writing it, you're creating that world. And so it just really opens up the possibilities. I think it gives a lot of people space to explore parts of themselves they might not feel comfortable with in everyday life. And on the other end of that, as a reader, I mean, seeing yourself reflected in media, whether that be, you know, movies, books, otherwise, you know, that's just so important because, you know, you don't feel alone. You know, there's representation. There's somebody else like you going through the same struggles, going through the same everyday stuff, the stuff that you think that, you know, is just mundane, like somebody else is going through it, too.
Do you think literature is able to tell queer stories differently than other media?
Yeah, absolutely. I know Tamara specifically had mentioned to me, you know, with these creatures like vampires, I mean, they grew up a big Twilight fan.
Who didn't?
Right. Yeah. No, that was, and now we have the next generation here, you know, expanding on that. And so they were telling me that, you know, there's always going to be vampires in literature. There's always going to be these monsters. But they're going to be inherently different if they are Black and if they are lesbian and when you have these different groups represented and shown in literature. And so I think coming from a queer perspective, it almost gives literature the ability to give a unique take on something that might have already been told.
And do you think people should read more stories that are different from their own experiences? I guess what's, you know, the value in that from your perspective?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's how we find out about each other. It's how we understand. And specifically fiction, for myself even, you know, it can be almost easier to understand sometimes what somebody is going through when that story and those lessons or those takeaways can be kind of molded to something that's similar to your experience.
And for you, favorite queer literature?
Oh my gosh, I've been knee deep in it this month. I'm just trying to keep up. A few friends I had just recommended, and I had finished a few months ago, Desert to the Heart by Jane Rule. A really good, you know, kind of 50s, 60s Reno, Nevada sort of piece, very desert feeling. I'm currently reading The Journey by Anne Cameron. Diamonds Are a Dyke's Best Friend by Yvonne Zipter, a local Chicago author who just passed a few years ago, but it's a documented history on the kind of 80s and 90s lesbian scene in softball here specifically.
That's Sun-Times reporter Violet Miller. Thanks, Violet.
Weather, it's extremely hot. There is an extreme heat warning in effect until 10 o'clock Wednesday night. A high in the mid-90s today with the heat index around 104. Clear skies tonight with a low in the upper 70s. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Labus. Thanks for listening.